all of this process began. And I don't know all what all was said, but I do know that Brother Scoggins made the statement that you'll like her a whole lot more than you like him, and you'll tolerate him just to keep her. So I know I married way, way over my head, and I love my wife so very much. And I am nothing without her. She completes me, and I'm a blessed man. Amen. It's Mother's Day. Everybody in this room has been blessed to have a mother. I was reading a deal, and this lady called, and she asked. She said, "Well, how are you feeling?" And this little haggard mother, she was wore out. She picked the phone up, and the first words that she heard, it was a little bit older sounding lady, and she asked, "How are you feeling?" And she couldn't quite put it all together at first who it was, but she was so tired and exhausted, she just let it all out. She said that Sally's had a dirty diaper for 2 hours. The boys are in the yard. One of them's missing, and I can't find them. The laundry's piled up. The dishes are piled up. Everything is a wreck. And on top of that, I've got a headache. I don't feel good. And the sound from the other side said that, Well, just hold on. I'm going to be there in a minute. I'm going to wash the dishes. I'm going to help you find your lost son. I'm going to change the diaper. I'm going to be there for you. I'll be there in just a minute. She said, "Okay, good." And then she said, "By the way, how's Sam feeling?" She said, "Sam? Who's Sam?" She said, "That's your husband." She said, "I'm not married to a Sam." And it got real quiet for a minute, and the little haggard mom came back on the phone and said, "You're still coming though, right?" "I don't know you, but if you wouldn't mind showing up, I'd appreciate it." You know you're a mom when you're leaving church and you turn around to say bye, and instead of saying, "See y'all now," you holler out something like, "Y'all take turns now." You know you're a mom. They asked one child about evolution, and they asked him how that he would discredit evolution, why he thought that it wasn't true. He said, "If evolution was true, my mom would have 6 hands because she would have evolved to be what she needs." One son believed that his mother should have had a handicap sticker to put in his window. In fact, in her window on the car. In fact, he believed that every mom should have a handicap sticker because they only had 2 hands. If there's something about it that moms can do more in the short amount of time than anybody else on the face of the earth. The song that they sang earlier, talking about all the different hats that the mom wears, all the things that mom does, everything that mom does to help, to keep, to protect, to watch over. There's something about mom. Marcia Katz is a well-known psychiatrist and professor at the University in Jerusalem. And she was doing a research paper, and she got 46 mothers. She went down to the hospital and had 46 moms to be a part of her research paper. When the baby was born, the mothers had 5 hours to feed the baby, to touch the baby, to spend time with the baby, and then the baby was taken away from them for several hours. The mother was blindfolded, and out of these 46 babies, they would take 3 at a time, and they would lay the babies in front of these moms that were blindfolded, and they would ask the moms to go into the room blindfolded and to be able to tell which baby was theirs. After only being with the child for 5 hours, after only being able to feed them a couple of times, after only touching them a couple of times, over 76% of the women chose their baby without fail. Most of them said they could tell by the texture of their skin and by the temperature of their hand. Some of them said they could smell. They knew that was their baby by the smell of their baby. There was something about it that a mother could tell that that was their child. You look throughout the Bible, and it was Jochebed that made up her mind that you're not taking my baby today. It was Mary that pushed beyond, that lived in such a fashion. They had a document come out, and they were talking about when that you were supposed to start disciplining your children, when it was that they were supposed to start learning, when it was, and they had all of these doctors sitting around, and they were trying to figure out when they were to tell the children, mothers, to start disciplining their children. And one of them said at 3 was the time that they could really start learning. One of them said at 5. One of them at 6. They all had different ideas. And an elderly woman sitting in the corner, she spoke up and she said, "One thing you've got to understand, who your child becomes doesn't start at age 2 or 3 or 4 or 6. It starts 22 years before that child is ever born. It starts with who that mother is and how she raises that child. And if that mother is right, if that everything in that mother is good, then you don't have to worry about if it's at 3 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. It'll take care of itself." I'm so thankful that we have mothers in this room that are mothers, that are a blessing. Mothers like Timothy's mom, when Paul writes to him, says that it was passed down from your grandmother to your mother, and now it has been passed down to you. Mothers that have been single, like the little widow lady that did everything that she could to support her family. Mothers like the little lady that the collector said they're going to take their sons, but she said, "I'm going to do everything that I can to make ends meet." Mothers like Hannah that made up their mind that they're going to pray until a miracle happens. Even Jesus needed a mother. You look at when the angel came to Mary and began to speak to her, and he told her, "Do not be afraid." He tells her that you are highly favored. That the Lord, that you're highly favored. "Then blessed art thou among women," is the words that he uses. He begins to tell her what is going to happen. He begins to talk about how that she is going to conceive a son and that his name shall be Jesus. That was the only time that she had a word from God about this baby. So many times we want a word after a word after a word after a word. We want confirmation after confirmation. But God spoke to her and told her that she was going to have a baby and that they were going to name him Jesus. We read that when the shepherds come and they worship Jesus, that at that moment in time in Luke 2 and 19, it says, "But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart." We see as Mary, when they can't find Jesus, and every parent has been at that place where their child is missing, and frantically they run and they rush and they try to find their child, and they find Jesus in the temple and he's teaching. They tell him how much that he scared them. He tells them how much that he should stay with them. And Jesus responds that, "I must be about my Father's business." And the scripture says, "But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." I wonder how many times it hasn't been recorded in the Bible where Mary kept that moment in time in her heart. Moments and times that she took to prayer, the song that we sang about on our knees, that she went and she prayed, that she talked to God about her baby, that she talked to God about this child that has been put in her life. Billy Graham stated it like this: "Your home is to be your parish, your little brood, your congregation, your living room, your sanctuary, and your knees a sacred altar." There was a little lady in the church in Wichita Falls. She was a little bit awkward. She was not your outgoing personal type that would just go out into the streets and witness. She couldn't sing. She wasn't a good teacher. She wasn't involved in Sunday school. And one day she came to Brother Elms and she told Brother Elms that she was going to adopt some children. He asked how old the children were, and when he told them how old the children were, he discouraged her from it. He told her, if they were babies, I would feel different about this. You already have three sons that are almost grown, and now you're going back to bring these other babies into your life. They're not babies. These were almost teenagers. And he said, I don't know if I would advise it. You're not as young as you used to be. They're going to be a handful. They've got history. They've seen things. And with tears in her eyes, she said, Brother Elms, she said, I've never won anybody to the Lord. She said, my whole life, I don't have the personality to win people. I try, but I've never been able to. I so desperately want somebody to be in heaven because of me. Brother Elms looked at her and said, and you think you can save these boys? And she said, I know I can love and save these boys. He said, if that's how you feel about it, go ahead. She passed away a few years ago, and the two boys, teenage boys that she adopted, are both living for God, both love Jesus, and are both still in church. She said, I've made up my mind that my love is going to affect these boys' lives. I may not have been able to affect anybody else, but I'm going to affect these young men. Throughout the Bible, you don't read about any miraculous things that Mary did. There wasn't any healings. You find her at different areas in time where she's with Jesus, trying to meet with Jesus after his ministry started. You find her at the foot of the cross. You find her in the upper room where even Mary, the mother of Jesus, was filled full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Her ministry was invested into that young man by the name of Jesus. She invested her life into her children. She had other children that were called to preach later on that were used of God. And your children don't have to be called to preach to be used of God, but your life being a ministry that you invest your life into your children. And because of the love and the life that you've invested in them, something is manifested inside of them, that there is something that is created that Christ is shown through them, that even if they might have stepped away for a time, Brother Smith said it best, that they might not be right now, but they will be right one day. It's hard for us to look at Jesus and think that Jesus needed a mother, because when we think of Jesus, we think of somebody that is God. And it's hard for our minds to wrap around the thought that not only was he all God, but he was also all man. The story at the wedding is an interesting story to me. I imagine that Mary and Jesus were close. He didn't get married. He never got married. And his ministry didn't start till he was 30 years old. I imagine that him and Mary had a very tight-knit relationship. We don't know what happened to Joseph. Some believe that Joseph passed away, in Jesus' younger life, teenage years, somewhere in there. Nobody knows exactly what happened to Joseph. They're for sure he passed away at some time. So Jesus and Mary had to have had a close relationship. And they go to this wedding and the wine has run out, and it's an embarrassment. It's something that they have failed at the event. It was an event that people were going to look at, and it was a very important deal how the wedding went off. It's a glorious occasion. And Mary comes in and looks at Jesus and says, Jesus, it's time for you to do a miracle. And Jesus looks at his mother and says, woman, go home and try that out tonight. Let's do a case study. We'll see how you look Wednesday. You look like poor Jackson who got in a fight with a fence, and it looks like a Muhammad Ali this morning. Go home and try that one out. Woman, it's not my time. Leave me alone. But there was something about this little mama that knew that it was time. There was something about mama that knew that it was time for Jesus to step out. It's hard to us to fathom that Jesus would be nervous about his ministry. It's hard for us to fathom that Jesus could say, it's not my time yet. And mama looks him in the eye and says, boy, you've been staying at home a little too long. You've got a ministry and a calling on your life. And it's time for you to do something. I've prayed too many prayers. I've gone to God too many times. I've been pondering too many things in my heart. And today's going to be the day, son. And she turns and looks at the servants and says, whatever he says to do, do it. And it's hard for us to think that Jesus might have had reservations even about his own ministry, him being all God, but also all man. But after Jesus did that one miracle, after Jesus said, it's not my time, after Jesus said, woman, leave me alone, after that miracle, you see miracle after 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 miracle. It wasn't that miracle, and then he waited another 15 months until his time. His time started at that moment when the little mama said, hey, it's time. There's something about a little mama that prays. There's something about a little mama that can get on her knees. There's something about a little mama that can look at the situation and say, hey, I know who you are. Nobody else knows who you are, but I know who you are. And it's time for you to do it. Well, I don't know. All I do know is Jesus said, it's not my time. And from that day forth, it was his time. And it had to do with the little mama saying, hey, it's time. It's time. It's time. Abraham Lincoln says, no man is poor who has a godly mother. Countless times each day, a mother does what no one else can do quite as well. She wipes away the tears. She whispers words of hope. She erases the child's fears away. She teaches. She ministers. She loves. She nourishes. She's raising up the next generation of citizens. She challenges. She consoles. She challenges them to be their best, to do their best, without much praise, without any fanfare, without any great acknowledgments of accomplishments. But this morning we want you to know, thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. Lord Jesus, I thank you for every mom in this place. I thank you for the blessings that you have placed in our lives. I thank you for every prayer that has been prayed. Your word says that every prayer that is prayed, that it is snatched up and it is kept. Lord, I want to thank you for every prayer that every mama in this place has prayed. I want to thank you for every time that every mama in this room has got on her knees and called out the name of her children. I want to thank you, oh God, for these women in this room right now that have a relationship with you, that desire to see their family saved, that desire to see the kingdom of God moved and progressed because of their prayers and because of their families. Lord, we thank you today, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I'm a product of a praying mama. I would wake up in the mornings in a backslidden state, and I couldn't walk out my door because there'd be a mama knelt down over the door right in front of my door, weeping and crying, calling out my name to Jesus. I wouldn't even open the door, because if I opened the door, she'd be right there. I'd just have to sit in the room and wait till she was done and listen to her pray and call my name and bind devils over my life. There's something about a praying mama. Mamas, we thank you today. We honor you today. And we love you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's all stand.